right. So, oh, wow, this is louder. So, Scott asked us to share what the Lord has been stirring on us, okay? And what the Lord, one of the things the Lord had been stirring on me is the struggles of identity. You know, in our time that we live in now, it's even worse, right? There's a lot of struggle with identity. And I was listening to a lot of testimonies of people who have struggled through addiction, sexual struggles, and all these things. And it was so impacting me. I was crying through all of them, right? And what impacted them the most, the teaching on community is right on. We know that. You know, we need community. And I was crying as they talked about community and how the body of Christ would wrap around them without judgment and do life with them, right? It was so powerful. But also what totally impacted me was a lot of them kept saying, Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, Romans 5, 6, 7, 8 really changed them. That really set them free from their brokenness and their struggle and the crazy cycles in their life. Right? So I went, okay, Lord, I'm going to soak in Romans 5, 6, 7, 8. I mean, I would have to be here for a week to even go through those chapters, so I'm just going to throw out a few points here, right? But in Romans 6, okay, this is Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Could it be any clearer that our former identity, so our identity in the past, our former identity, is now and forever deprived of its power? For we were co-crucified with him to dismantle the stronghold of sin within us so that we would not continue to live one moment. Get that? What I'm saying? One moment. Longer submitted to sin's power. Okay? Powerful scripture. We could spend weeks just on this one. It's like if we beg God for victory over our sin, it's refusal to understand that we have already died to sin. We don't have to beg for it, okay? Our joyful task is to believe the good news rather than seek to crucify ourselves. Sin is not suppressed by the cross. It is eliminated. It is eliminated. This is basic salvation message. But we forget it, don't we? Right? In Romans it says, we have died to sin once and for all. As a man dies, right, a dead man passes away from his life. So how can we live under the rule not one moment longer again? What's a moment? Somebody tell me what a moment is. Is it 60 seconds? Sections? Anything you want it to be. Upon the water, God commands us to step out, for we are now in him. We are his image. We reflect him. Therefore, when we get saved, God sees us like we've never sinned. Do you guys know that? He literally sees us like we have never sinned. There's no other belief system out there that has this. It's a done deal. Done. When I sin, right, and I go, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. He takes that. And then I come back an hour later and I go, man, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. He goes, what are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about. He goes, I did that sin. I own that sin. That is my sin. That is not your sin. He makes me pure and he makes me righteous. In Colossians it says, yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ. In his physical body, as a result, he has brought you into his own presence. You are holy. May these words go strong to us. He's made us holy. He has made us blameless. As you stand before him without a single fault. Not even a single fault. Is this hitting home? Like, we know this, but we need to know this. Right? You know, the enemy, he's such a waste of our time. Just a waste of our time. You know, I don't even care to focus on the guy. I just want to focus on what Jesus is doing. Right? He's just not worth my thoughts. But the truth is, he does come in. He tries to distort the power of the blood of Jesus. And we're going to do communion at the end of this. But welcome into my life before my family gets up and everything. I do communion every day. Every morning. And if I forgot, I do when I get home. Right? There's so much power in the blood of Jesus and the body. The blood of Jesus wipes out the power of sin and the judgment that leads to death. It wipes out the power of sin and the judgment that comes with us. So much power in the blood of Jesus and his body. I think it was Mahesh. He had a book. I remember Diane Woman read it. It was The Hidden Power of the Blood of Jesus. And the first chapter, because he ministers to different places like this, you know, where there's witch doctors, you know how you have the massive amount of people in the third world country. And he's like, Lord Jesus, oh, I know the witch doctors are coming. I heard word. Jesus goes, what's your problem? Just declare one drop of my blood. That's all you need to do. One drop of my blood. He got up on that stage and he declared one drop of Jesus' blood, and people just started getting deliverance left, right, and center. We don't realize the power that we have inside of us. His blood is in our veins, right? The blood of Jesus paid for everything. It washes white as snow. Is that awesome? You go to a dump yard and we just had fresh snow. It's white. It's crystal white. That's what Jesus does. The blood of Jesus gives us freedom and authority. Hell has been defeated for all eternity, and now we get to boldly release it, heaven on earth. Is that powerful? Every time we take communion, we remind the devil of his failures. Amen. If you guys want to say, shake that bush, go for it. Preach it, sister. I love it. Yeah. There is power in the victory of the blood of Jesus. Every time we take it, we are aligning ourselves back up into our true identity. Every time we take it. I'm a daughter of God, right? And for those I'm praying for, I do it the same. The devil has to watch as we celebrate the resurrection power of Jesus. Okay? His blood, we are saved, healed, and delivered. The blood is an intimate covenant. And I don't have time to teach on that one. But it is powerful. There's life in the blood. So got some of this too, out of the power of communion. And I'm going to read the prayer when we do communion together. But there was this lady, and her son gave his life to the Lord, but then obviously he got caught up in the world, and he was, you know, trafficking drugs. He was actually pretty high-end across the border, trafficking drugs. And she did the same thing, and she started doing communion every day. And this was her prayer. She said, Jesus, you died for my son, Danny. I call on the power of your blood to bring him back to you. You sacrifice your body for my son, and because of that, I call him back from the power of darkness. It took 3 weeks, and his life was completely changed around. There is power in the blood and in his body. So as we take communion, let's remember that, right? That's why I do it constantly, because I need to refresh myself, right? Yes, I can walk a sinless life. We're called to walk a sinless life. I mean, there is times that we get slimed, right? Doesn't mean I sinned. If I pull up the TV and I get to listen to music I don't like out there or TV, it slimes me. Doesn't mean I sinned. I can't be repenting for something I didn't do, but I have to get in the Word, which is the water, and cleanse me. You know what I mean? I could put on a white outfit and I could walk through this world. I'm going to get dirty, but doesn't mean I entered into sin. Does that make sense? My hand, I have to think about it if I pick up this cup, right? Therefore, sin, you think about it and then you enter into it. But that cup just throws on me, doesn't mean I entered into sin. Do you guys see the difference? And a lot of times we go, oh man, what did I do? What did I do? Man, I'm so slimed out. Doesn't mean you sinned. But that's something you got to check with your heart with God. But you do need to cleanse yourself. Again, that's the power of the Word of God and the water. We worship, right? We cleanse ourselves. We get our minds back on the mind of Christ. Does that make sense before I move on? Okay. So, and then this lady, she kept prophesying who her son was in Christ, right? Robbie Dawkins has this story in here. I'm just going to paraphrase because of time. But this lady, she came from a family where her dad was quite abusive. And so she hasn't seen him in 15 years. He was quite abusive to the whole family. she heard he was in the hospital. And so she went in to go see him. And Robbie Dawkins just told her the power of speaking truth, identity. Do you know what? Do you know that God sees us in our full potential? He doesn't see us with our flaws. Do you know what I mean? When we accept him as Lord and Savior, right? We see problems. He sees solutions, right? That's how he sees us. I'm going to come back to Robbie Dawkins. But I remember I was at this conference, and this intercessor said the same thing. She was struggling with her son. He was an addict. He kept coming and stealing stuff, right, to go get his drugs. And she was begging God, set him free, set him free. And the Lord says, stop praying from that place, from this place. He says, you need to pray from the way I see him, from the heavenly realm, right? We are at the right side of Jesus. If we've accepted him as Lord and Savior, we are at the right side of Jesus. This is our rightful place, right? So she goes, Lord, how do you see him? And so the Lord showed her, and she started praying from that area. I think it was like 2 months, too. There was a complete turnaround on the guy. And she said one time the Lord, she was in worship, and the Lord took her up to the heavenlies. She was worshiping up there, and she came back down, and she was having a heavenly experience. And she saw the lady that always wanted a baby holding a baby in her hands. And she saw the mom that always wanted her son at church with him. And the Lord was saying, that's where you call people into. That's the way the Lord sees us, and that's the way we are to speak to other people. How about we see it from a place of God's fullness? God's fullness. So going back to this one story, it was amazing. I didn't want to share it in detail because there's younger people in here. But she went into the hospital, and I mean, years of abuse, just years of stuff. And she looked at her father, and he was already trying to pick up the nurse. Like, there was just a spirit of just, ugh, on him, right? And she looked at him, and she said, Dad, I want to tell you, I forgive you. And I'm sad that you missed the call of God in your life, but you're a man of God. And she started calling every plan and purpose that was on his life. She started calling it out. And he ended up giving his life to the Lord and started weeping. That's so powerful. This man fell when he saw it was his actual daughter, because he didn't even recognize her. Tried to pick her up, right? He didn't even recognize her. He was shocked that she even came, because he hadn't seen her in 15 years or any of the children. And she said, you know what? You are a man of God, and you were called to protect us as children, and I call you to walk in that place, who sees his children as precious treasures. You were created to be that man. Now rise up, man of God. Rise up from this lie you believed about yourself. And it says, the woman's words penetrated her father's heart, and he began to weep. He knew she was right. He had not lived the identity God had given him. Her words convicted him, and his true identity exposed the sin nature Satan had convinced him to embrace. Right then and there, he accepted Jesus as his invitation of the daughter he had violated for those many, many years. Powerful. You know what? We were praying the other day, and we were talking about, it's true, we're made in God's image. God creates. When we speak, we're either going to create negative or positive. So God wants us to create, and he wants us to call the full potential out of everybody that's in front of us, right? Because that's the way he sees us. All God is asking for us, really, if you think about it, because he covers us with all of him. I know it says Gideon, he wore them like a glove, right? He covers us with all of him. And really, all God is asking for is for you, for me, to be everything we were created to be. That's all he's asking for, right? Anyhow, you know, it's like I go out on the driveway and I give him a few stones and he turns it into diamonds. Anytime we hold back is because we don't really know how in him those areas are touched by his love. That's the only reason why we hold back. But he's created us for a plan and purpose, and it's really all for us and all for him. Everything else doesn't fit. Does that make sense? In Romans it says, and since we are his true children, we qualify to share all his treasures. He shares all his treasures with us. Can we fathom that? What do you think all treasures of God are? That's huge. He does not hold back at all. It also says that he joins us with Christ. As we are joining him, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. He gives us all that he is and all that he has. Who said wow? Is that wow? Really, we are the answer to the whole world. He's given us everything. He does not hold back at all. You know, inheritance, when he put us into royalty, this is deep stuff. This is this straight scripture. In Ephesians, right? Every spiritual blessings, as we know this one, but it's so powerful, in the heavenly realms has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, all because he sees us totally wrapped in Christ. We are in him, we abide in him, and he abides in us, says that in John. This is why we were created in him with all our hearts. Everybody knows me from downstairs. My favorite commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. Because far as I'm concerned, that is the most important scripture in the whole Bible, right? And even that God puts love in us for him. Because when we gaze at him, he's the one that thought us before the creation of the world. It wasn't us. He's the one that draws up to look up to him. And when I look at him, I find my true identity because he's lavishing his love on me. And then when he does that, I start to love myself in a humble place because in my weakness, he is strong. And then out of that, I can love others. But that has to come first. But he even does that for us. Do you guys get that? He chose us before the beginning of the earth, before he created it. And he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we will be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstainable innocence. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our anointed one, which is Jesus. So that his tremendous love that cascades, it doesn't just dribble in. It cascades. That's what he desires. The cascade is love in us. Do you guys get it? I know sometimes in the morning, it's my first fruits in the morning. I love when I lay there. I felt a burning on my chest this morning. Tina, because she knows I say this all the time. It's time for snuggles, God. I need my snuggle time. I get up on his lap and I snuggle. It's everything. That's everything. He cascades his love on us. Tremendous love and cascades over us would glorify his grace for the same love he has for his beloved son, Jesus. Exact same love he has for him, he has for us. Do you guys get that? And this is unfolding plan for his great pleasure. You did not receive the spirit of religion. Praise God, because I can't stand religion. We did not receive the spirit of religion, leading you back into fear or never being good enough. We are set free from that if we really accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Right? I think some of us, we just know him as Savior. But as we totally met his yes with our yes, my yes with his yes, there is complete freedom. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God, and you will never feel like an orphan again. You know, everyone, you know, in a brokenness, there's orphanness. But we, for as he raises up within us a spirit that joins in with words of tender affection that he calls and puts within us, we cry out, Abba, Father, which means beloved Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are my beloved child. He puts that in us. You know what? The spirit of adoption, let's talk about that for a second. When we become a Christian, we are born again. Born again. That means, you know, we are new, completely new. But not only that, we also get refathered and remothered. Anybody that's close to me knows I've had some father stuff. My father's disappeared. I haven't seen him in years. And last I heard, he died. And then my stepfather just died. But I'm going to tell you something. I get fathered from the Heavenly Father. Do you understand? I am born again. And he lavishes his love upon me. I have full acceptance. And no one can take that away from me. No one. You hear about the slaves when they were enslaved and they would sing the gospel songs out there because no one could take that away from me and them. Right? When Daniel went in the lion's den, whether God showed up or not, no one could take that away from him because he knew who he was. And this is who we are. Jesus has conquered all sin. He cascades his love upon us. You know, I think, what was the last one? Finger of God, too. In China, in a hidden church, it was like these guys were only being trained to give their lives for Christ. They knew they were going out to die. That's powerful. You can only do that when you know you're loved. Nothing can take that away from me. The best thing Jesus did, he set me free from myself. He sets us free from ourselves. That means I can't be offended. Do I have moments? But then I have to get back in the Lord. Not only that, I can't get rejected. I remember the Lord said to me one time, I was going to jump into something, and he says, there's no rejection in me. And I went, that's the enemy's emotion. It is the enemy's emotion that wants to lay it on us. He's rejected. Every time we take communion and we stand, we're God's image. Can't stand constantly seeing us walking around. It's true. And being born again and walking in his image and feeling his love cascade on us, right? So if I'm getting triggered and offended, I always say to everybody, that's a good thing. Because that's just showing something in me that needs to receive God's love. That is my issue. It's not your issue. I mean, you're accountable before God yourself. But I'm saying that's my issue. Because I know where my acceptance comes from. Because he has freed us. And Satan, you can feel your own rejection. I'm not taking it. Back off. Get your own sandwich. Remember that commercial? It's true. God sees us wrapped in Jesus, right? We are made in his image. Then God said, let us make humans in our image and in his likeness. Again, Satan is so jealous as he sees us walking around, true lovers of Jesus, right? And he likes to derail us. The truth is, he could try with our mistakes, but when we look in the mirror and see the way God sees us, there is no shame and no condemnation. It is not how big we see God. We all see how big God is. I could talk to people out on the street right now. They know God's big. But it's how big I see God is inside of me that matters. Well, I heard this story the other day. So this guy, I don't know if it's a true story or not, but he bought this chainsaw. And he had it for a couple weeks. And he brings it back to the guy he bought. He goes, man, this is a pain in the butt. He's like, I got to keep cutting and cutting and cutting, trying to get the tree down. He goes, I think there's something wrong with it. So the owner looks at it and he goes, turns around. He goes, oh, my gosh. Isn't that like us? In our own stinking flesh, cutting and cutting and trying to make it happen. The Holy Spirit goes, just pull the power, would you? Pull what's in you. It's the total truth. I mean, the Israelites' identity was to enter the promised land. That was their true identity. That's our true identity. But Jesus already conquered that. So when he's in that, we already have it. Moses got them out of Egypt, but he never got Egypt out of them. Right? We're under a new covenant. And Jesus said in Jeremiah, right, he would put his laws in us. And he conquered all sin. I'm telling you guys, it's a scripture, man. We can live sin-free. The power of sin has been eliminated from us through the cross. Again, it's not suppressed. It's eliminated. Jesus conquered it, and he does not see you as sin. He doesn't even see a single fault in you when you ask for forgiveness. Now, the grace does say in Romans, don't take advantage of it, right? We're going to struggle. We know that. Because sometimes we're under the influence, like the Israelites, who were under an influence for such a long time. That starts to become your identity. You take on the name of the issue. But I say, give that issue to Jesus, because he's the great exchange, right? I just wrote this down because it's such a good scripture. Colossians 2:15. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the power and principalities of the darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority, power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus laid them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoners. They are his. Isn't that powerful? And that's Jesus inside of us. And that's what happened to those strongholds of sin, right? You know what? We need to be single focused. God calls us to be single focused. I heard this the other day. I think it was Bill Johnson. There was a guy that was in a sport and he lost his hand and he still said, Lord, I still want to do something. And so he took up handball with one hand. You heard it? Right? He took up handball with one hand and he ended up becoming a champion. And the interview guy said to him, how do you do that with one hand? Everybody else gets two. You're doing it with one hand. You know what he said? I don't have distraction. I don't have distraction. Single focused. You want freedom? God wants you to gaze upon his eyes. We sing about it. We sing about it all the time. He tells us to gaze in his eyes. That one tough scripture says that we did not know him. You look that up, it means we didn't spend time gazing in his eyes. Known. It's intimate. We are made as Adam and Eve in God's image to reign. I realize Adam and Eve, from a moment, turned from reigning to slaves, but Jesus took that back for us. We are in his likeness and we reign in complete authority with him in humility. It's in our weakness he is glorified. There's this thing in our brain called mirror neurons. Anybody that's smart and all that science stuff? So mirror neurons. So the neurons fire both in humans and animals. And what happens is it acts that when they observe the other person performing something, the neuron is like a mirror, and the behavior, so if you're eating something right now, and I've tasted that before, but I kind of know it, or I've been longing to taste it, I'm just sticking hungry, okay? And you're eating something, and I stare at you long enough, I can actually start feeling what you're feeling. You know, my mouth starts to saliva, man. You know, I could come in here sometime, and I could be in a, you know, walking through some issues, giving it to the Lord, and I see someone worshiping. Tab's jumping around, worshiping Jesus, going for it. That enters me into her faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mere neurons. You know, people say to me all the time, I'm so glad I came here today. There's such a joy on you. Right? And I said, well, you jump into where I'm at. You jump into my faith. You jump into that baby. And I remember Sean Bolt's book, Translated God. He went somewhere. He landed somewhere. And there was a girl, she was very young, and the guy was pimping her out. And so the guy came up to Sean Bolts, and he goes, can I give you this girl for the night? And he goes, I don't do that. He says, but I would like to talk to her. So the guy let him. And so he said to the girl, he says, I'm a pastor, and you know what? I feel God's presence on you. He says, but I want you to jump into my faith. And we're going to ask Jesus what he's put in you. A desire in you that he's created you for. Just one desire. So they prayed. And she heard to be a chef. She had a desire to cook. And then they said, okay, let's ask Jesus, what's one thing you can do to make that ball start going? And she goes, I feel like I'm supposed to call my uncle and aunt. So she called them the next day because Robbie Dock and her stayed in contact. And they took her in off the streets and let her work in a restaurant. And this aunt and uncle's been praying for her. So she ended up giving her life back to Jesus. Awesome. And she went back to school and finished her high school because she was like 13. It was crazy young. And make a long story short, she was so talented and so gifted in cooking and running a restaurant that as time went on, he helped her start her own restaurant. Isn't that powerful? Powerful. And that was on his faith. So I don't get stirred when I'm praying for people. I did that for a guy down here, right? I said, let's jump in. You can be on my faith. Let's say something God's put in you. And he heard going back to work with stone, building, masonry. And I said, well, let's ask the Lord one thing you're supposed to do. And he felt to call his old boss. So he called him and he started working again. But I mean, jump on my faith, right? We need each other to jump on. That's why we're the body of Christ. Get on the train. Get on that praying, baby. So in Romans, it says, if we were crucified, again, which we are with Jesus, the anointed one, we know that we will also share in God's fullness, in his fullness. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And therefore, any thought that disempowers you is not from God. There's your tool for today. Any thought that disempowers you is not from God. We always joke and say stinking thinking. But the truth is, we don't have time to think thoughts that God does not have for us. What a waste of time anyhow. For by Jesus' sacrifice, he died to sin's power once and for all. But now we live constantly for the Father's pleasure so that it will be the same for us. We are dead and unresponsive to sin, appeal, while living daily in God's pleasure and union with him. You know what? I just constantly want to know how to love Jesus more. Yeah. You know, I read the Bible, and we soak in the Bible until he talks to me. Read it until he talks to you. In Hebrews, it says, and then let us consider how we stir one another on to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as we see the day drawing. In Romans 5:18, he says that we are led to live victorious life. You know, if there's big giants in front of us, that means a bigger victory. And the truth is, without a battle, we cannot have a victory. It is the truth, right? And that tree was in the garden, the tempt. But a lot of times we need to be tempted to find what's really inside of us so that God could come and meet us so he won't relent because he wants all of us. The Bible says we will suffer. We can't get out of that. That's another whole teaching in itself. But I tell you, when I look at people that suffer a lot worse than I do, you know, I weep while I read their stories. I weep. But I look at these guys, and when they've faced martyrdom and all the rest of that, and those little girls that have to be trafficked, and they carry such a presence of God, you know, and, you know, even though their enemies are coming back that ravish their lives, they choose to pray for them and pour out love upon them so that their lives could be turned around. That's God. In Jesus, we live victorious. And I want you to know that there's no shame and condemnation in Christ Jesus. And that literally, the stronghold of sin has been crucified. Todd White says, I haven't sinned in 15 years. I don't know if I can say that. You know, I get slimed, right? But I know in my heart when I'm going to cross a line. There is nowhere greater love than God. We live victorious. You know, we are death to ourselves. Praise God, because myself can be a real punk sometimes. He sets us free from ourselves. Praise God. And my heart breaks out there when I see our friends suffering, because I know God will set them free from all those addictions and brokenness because they enter into a new family and they get refathered and remothered. And they're so broken, and God comes and takes that sin out of us. Let's remember what God has done for us and how much he loves us. And when he looks at you, he sees Jesus. He does not see your flaws. Again, we see problems and mistakes. He does not. He sees solutions and he sees love. He sees you in your high potential. And therefore, as we spend time with God, we call in the high potential of others. I want to bless you guys that we walk in freedom. And I say to you, that you do not even have to walk in sin anymore. And I declare that his love would so overtake you, that desire would be so taken out of us, because we would know we're so loved and so accepted in him. Our yes to meet his yes for us.